You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Something unexpected happened after Jeremy Scott confessed to killing Michelle Schofield in Bone Valley season one.
Every time I hear about my dad, it's, oh, he's a killer. He's just straight evil.
I was becoming the bridge between Jeremy Scott and the son he'd never known.
At the end of the day, I'm literally a son of a killer.
Listen to new episodes of Bone Valley Season 2 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's April 2020. A woman announces on Facebook that she has COVID and won't be seeking medical attention.
I didn't want to be talked out of this plan.
Then she disappears.
Anyone else think this is strange?
I just had to know. How did this happen?
Listen to What Happened to Talina Czar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Soledad O'Brien, and on my new true crime podcast, Murder on the Towpath, I'm taking you back to 1964, to the cold case of artist Mary Pinchot Meyer.
She had been shot twice, in the head and in the back.
It turns out Mary was connected to a very powerful man.
I pledge you that we shall neither commit nor provoke aggression.
John F. Kennedy. Listen to Murder on the Towpath with Soledad O'Brien on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How could a beautiful young first grade teacher be stabbed 20 times, including in the back, allegedly die of suicide? Yes, that was the medical examiner's official ruling. After a closed-door meeting, he first named it a homicide. Why? What happened to Ellen Greenberg? A huge American miscarriage of justice. For an in-depth look at the facts, see What Happened to Ellen on Amazon. All proceeds to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
What's doing something he didn't think he would do? I'm Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, and I'm here looking at Sophie's horrified face. You know, Sophie, my grandpa had a saying. My co-hosts today are Katie Stoll and Cody Johnson. How are you all doing today?
Great saying, Grandpa.
It was weird. We all thought he was going senile when he would just shout that out at Thanksgiving dinner 20 years ago. Yeah. But then I met you both.
We are. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Grandpa Evans.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. I'm A plus.
Good. Good.
Cody's right on time.
Yeah.
Cody is only 37 minutes late to record, which
I have to say, normally there is a calendar invite that tells me what time we are recording, and there was not this time. And so I did not know. There was another calendar invite that said 1:30, which is what I was expecting.
Cody is ready for the coming collapse of infrastructure.
Just quick check. Katie, were you on time?
I was on time.
Hey, Robert, quick check. Were you on time?
Maybe.
Here's the thing.
You were. I checked. Chris, were you on time?
He wasn't. I do normally give Cody a little reminder, and that is my fault.
It's not about your reminder. Absolutely not. No. Absolutely. This is no.
Sophie, there's nothing woker than letting a woman take the blame for a man's very clear and obvious mistake.
I want all of our listeners to know I did not mean that seriously.
Yeah, it was Katie and Sophie's fault.
Mm-hmm. They collaborated.
Yeah.
Like Barack Obama and Pete Buttigieg.
Katie called Sophie and was like, should I remind Cody? And Sophie was like, no. Should I send an email invite like I normally do? And Katie was like, no. And then they laughed and laughed and laughed. Mm-hmm.
I was on the email thread with them while they did it. I thought it was messed up.
Or perhaps you fucked up. Continue, Robert, with your show.
So guys, do you remember how last year we had a couple of fun moments where we got together as friends, as colleagues, as comrades, and we randomly paged through terrible books.
How could I forget?
We learned about what an egregore is, the collective Satan that the Jewish people have created with their own
seared into my memory.
Yeah,
ranks.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I remember the science book we read.
The science book we read. You remember the QAnon book we read?
Oh, yeah.
Where we learned a lot of good information.
Science part two.
Science part two. Mm-hmm. Today I got a little bit of a different book. Because you know, sometimes reading through random books at random points in time means I don't have to prepare as much, which can help us to get ahead over here.
And I love that for you and for us, for our show.
And today we're going to read a book called True Allegiance. Now, this has been described by the New York Times bestselling author Brad Thor as a blockbuster debut thriller ripped straight from the headlines. And its author is a fella y'all might know. Old Benny Shapps.
My favorite.
Ben Shapiro. Yeah, we are doing the Ben Shapiro book today.
This is fun because I've...
novelist Ben Shapiro.
I've been muting him or avoiding him on Twitter, so it's been a minute.
You've been taking care of your mental health.
And I'm ready to just tarnish it right now, just light it on fire.
I also have let Ben go.
Oh, Cody.
Only so much room we have in our day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. That can't have been easy for you.
It wasn't. Everything he says is wrong.
It is wrong.
Or a lie.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit before this about what we do when we have a book by a terrible person that I don't want to support financially, but I want to read. Because there's a trick, and I wasn't telling people the trick before, but now, like, fuck it. What's the worst that could happen? The key is, as far as I know, this isn't illegal. The key is, you purchase the book on Kindle, right? Mm-hmm. You download it to your device. You disconnect your device from the internet. You apply for a refund from Kindle.
Uh-huh.
And then you finish doing what you're going to do in the book before you reconnect it to the internet.
Smart.
And it removes it.
Great. Love that.
That sounds legal to me, actually.
It does sound very legal.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of advice. Now, True Allegiance was a book published in 2016 by Post Hill Press and of course, author Ben Shapiro. And I want to read you all the Amazon description so we can know what we're going for here. New York Times bestselling author Ben Shapiro's new novel asks, how close are we to our country's collapse, and will we be able to stop it once it begins? America is coming apart, and a legal immigration crisis has broken out along America's southern border. There are race riots in Detroit. A fiery female rancher-turned-militia leader has vowed revenge on the president for his arrogant policies, and the world's most notorious terrorist is planning a massive attack that could destroy the United States as we know it. Meanwhile, the president is too consumed by legacy-seeking to see our country's deep peril. Brett Hawthorne is the youngest general in the United States Army, and he's stuck alone behind the enemy lines in Afghanistan. He's the last lost soldier of a failed war, fighting to stay alive and make it back home. But will he be able to stop the collapse of America in time?
Sounds like a real thriller.
I have a question. Is there an audiobook version of this?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're
True Allegiance, Spence.
Yeah, it's free with your Audible trial. Does he read the Audible? I have to know.
There's no way they would let him do
because
that.
Because sounds way better than in your voice than it does in his voice, and I feel like it's yeah.
So could you look it up?
Because
I'm disconnected from the internet, so I can steal this book from Ben. So... I bet there's a foreword. Oh my God, you guys. Oh no.
There's a foreword.
It's not even the foreword. You know how books will have a praise for this book page it has the first quote on the praise for True Allegiance page. Meet our new Ayn Rand. Salon.com. Salon.com.
Salon.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Oh my God. Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
sure
there's an
Ann
Coulter quote. Provocative, intense, and about 5 minutes from becoming reality. Ben Shapiro's True Allegiance is a riveting thriller about what happens when America falls apart.
This sounds rooted in fact, not feeling.
Mm-hmm. He's got an Alan West quote in there. That's good. That's really good. Oh boy. And then some people that I don't recognize. Okay, so cool. We're on a good
start.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's a good book.
Sounds like it's a good book by good people.
I'm very excited for this.
Yeah. Okay. So, does he read it, Sophie?
Oh my good gracious!
No, that's the right side of history.
Oh,
that's the right side of history. That's
which book
his...
are we doing by Ben Shapiro?
We're doing True Allegiance.
Oh, I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
It's
I'm
sure they've got it. It's just not him.
Narrated by somebody who is not Ben Shapiro.
Oh, yeah. What's their name?
That's a good call. Because you might not believe what you learn about Brigadier General Brett Hawthorne.
Brett Hawthorne.
Brett Hawthorne.
And the president who only cares about Obama. I mean, not Obama. He's a different president, right?
All right. I'm gonna start with, I think chapter one looks like it's opening with we're starting with a terrorist attack going on in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. What year was this? Did you say that?
2016 Great. This came out.
Yeah, it would have had to.
Yeah.
Great. So the president obsessed with legacy would be Obama, not the president that
yeah.
Yeah.
Is also obsessed with his legacy.
Mm,
Just in a different way.
In a different way.
All right.
Oh, no, it doesn't start. Okay, so the first episode doesn't start with a new terror. It starts with, like, 9-11. And I think the character who's going to grow up to be our ranch militia leader in New York at 9-11 is seeing the towers at the building. So that seems like what we're going on with this prologue here. So that's good. So we're kicking it off with a 9-11. And then we move right in with Chapter 1 to Brett Hawthorne in Kabul, okay. Afghanistan. Brigadier General Brett Hawthorne looked at his M9 magazine and cursed to himself. Empty. He was sat up against a mud brick hovel in the city's poor part of town. Even in Kabul, there was a large income gap, and felt the sweat trickle down cold between his shoulder blades. He hadn't been alone for years. Generals always had a personal security detail, but things had gone hellishly wrong. Hawthorne was a bear of a man, 6'3 in his bare feet and 215 pounds in his underwear. Let's talk about this a minute.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've gotten criticized in the past for making fun of Ben Shapiro's shortness, and it's true that you shouldn't make fun of people for being short. Some people in this very room mm-hmm. are short.
Yeah. A lot. Most of us.
Most yeah. of us. Most of us, except for you and myself.
Yeah.
I'm not tall. I'm wearing tall shoes
right
now.
There are taller people than me in this room,
there are.
I think is what
there
Robert
are.
Is alluding
And it's
to.
Fine. There's nothing, it says nothing about
the thing
your
is,
personage.
But also,
short.
So like... Well, so here's the other thing. For many, 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 many years, Ben Shapiro claimed that he was my actual height, 5'8".
Oh, really? I was unaware of
he
this.
He is not, as we all know. So it's just one of those things where, okay, you're going to lie about this a lot.
What is his real
there's
height?
There's something, I don't know. Like
5'4".
Okay.
Something. I don't know. I'm making that up, but I've heard that.
But yeah. He's been lying about his height for years. That's
yeah,
funny.
It yeah. is funny.
And it's funny that his clear self-insert character, Brett Hawthorne, is a bear of a man, 6'3 in his bare feet and 215 pounds and 215 pounds in his underwear.
So yeah. What I'm struck by this is like there's all these stories. Ben Shapiro.
Sorry.
Kate. No, it's fine. What a beautiful laugh. Ben Shapiro wanted to be a Hollywood screenwriter.
He sure did.
And he flunked out of that.
Yes, he did.
There's just these few sentences. I just mm-hmm. can feel him being like, this would make a great movie. Mm-hmm. You yep. know, like he's writing it like, oh, fuck those guys. If Hollywood won't make it, I'll write this, you know?
And, yeah. I'm
also wondering as a gun guy. So the M9 is the 9mm Beretta sidearm
that
was up until recently the standard sidearm of the military. It says he looks at his M9 magazine. Now, there's a couple of things that makes me think. So if you're actually shooting a handgun like that and it's empty, the slide locks back and you can immediately tell that it's empty because the slide is locked back. At no point, if you're in a firefight, would you eject the magazine and look at the magazine to determine whether or not your weapon was empty. And I'm not sure how Brett Hawthorne, combat general, that doesn't make any sense as an opening. Like,
you
it would make
what?
Sense if he was like, looked like the slide locked back of Brett Hawthorne's M9 magazine and he cursed to himself, mm-hmm. empty. Like, that makes
yeah.
gun sense.
I can
this
explain
does not.
This to you.
Okay.
Ben doesn't know what he's talking about.
No. Thank you for that, Katie.
I have to back up real quick.
We made it one sentence.
I know.
We're
I
about
know,
a paragraph.
I know. We're doing really well. I need you, Robert, real quick.
Okay.
To read the blurb at the beginning one more time about Ayn Rand.
Oh, about Ayn Rand. Okay.
The whole thing.
We're scrolling back.
What does it say?
We're scrolling back. True Allegiance. Meet our new Ayn Rand.
Okay.
By Salon.com.
Okay.
That's it.
So here's the thing, folks. If you were to go to Salon.com, and you were to look for that phrase, mm-hmm. you'd find an article,
mm-hmm.
and that article is called, Meet Our New Ayn Rand, Ben Shapiro's ham-fisted propaganda fiction is even worse than you guessed.
That is...
Subheader, the wingnut pundit resents the liberal tone of TV, but turns out cartoonish right-leaning prose.
Unreal. Thank you for cool looking stuff. That up. That... Is that legal?
Yeah, from
can you just
Jose's
take
YouTube
part
channel?
Of somebody's the
yeah,
title?
You
of
can you can do whatever you want. It's amazing. It's the funniest thing I think Ben has ever done. It's everything about him.
We need regulation of book blurbs.
Taking that blurb, like no one would want to be like, oh, I'm the new Ayn Rand. Like already, it's like well, that's not like praise that. you would want to promote, but the fact that it's just pulled from this really, really mean headline is so good.
You guys, there's so much more to say about Combat General Brett Hawthorne.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Brett Hawthorne, who is at 215 pounds in his underwear, has a graying blonde crew cut and a face carved of granite.
My God!
Not a face that looks carved of granite, but a face carved of granite.
What a horrifying reality for him.
I know, what a nightmare for Brett Hawthorne.
I mean, I'm kind of into this. It's like a fantasy thing now, right?
Toxic masculinity. He can never change his face or show emotion.
I feel like he's touching himself when he writes about Brett Hawthorne, Combat General, and not at all a Ben Shapiro stand-in. So so Brett is looking up at the blown up buildings of Kabul, and he could see the Kabul Serena Hotel burning. The new coalition government had bragged about the hotel as the standard bearer for the modernization of the city, with its historically imitative Islamic architecture, satellite TV, and wireless internet. Now the flames licked at the windows as ashes floated down on the city. And I feel like he brings up that it's Islamic architecture for a reason to make it seem like even more of a bad idea to try to modernize.
No,
Kabul.
I'm just being specific in my prose.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure that if
Ben knows what Islamic architecture looks like, for one thing.
No, I'm sure if you were to control F that file and just type Islamic, it would come up as like a descriptor for so many things that do not need that word.
I bet you're right. We're indexing right now. I'm going to move right along to... So it goes on to him talking about how a few short... This is pretty great too, actually. A few short years ago, Afghanistan had seemed to be on the upswing. The Taliban had been on the run, hiding in the mountains of the Tora Bora region, sallying forth every so often to hit a supply chain. The coalition forces had been systemic. So a few years ago, everything had been great in Afghanistan.
But the arrogant president and his...
Hawthorne knew all this because he had designed the strategy, and now the strategy had gone to shit. Well, Brett Hawthorne thought to himself, at least I can tell those stupid bastards, I told you so.
Okay.
So good.
It is delightful to see who Ben thinks that he is.
Oh boy, you guys, typing in Islamic is
painful.
Fewer times than I thought, but I'm already seeing some religion of peace talk that I'm sure is going to be
fun.
Oh boy. All the words that are available in like the little search, because you only get the few words around it.
Right.
That late stage Islam is peace pussy shit.
Oh,
that's what we get there.
That's a sentence for you.
I don't know the context yet, but I'm sure we'll learn.
I love the idea that as Ben is writing this, he's like at his desk typing, and he has a cigar in his mouth that he will never light.
No,
but he's just like,
because it hurts his lungs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he hates the taste and he hates what it does to him.
It makes my tummy.
But
nauseous.
He knows that like I need that.
He's got to have the cigar.
Yeah,
and like a glass of scotch that is mostly ice that he doesn't sip from.
Yeah, it's melted.
It cost him $300.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to savor it.
So we're going to talk about Brett Hawthorne's background now. Because, you know, we start like a great writer. He starts in the action scene, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brett Hawthorne pinned down under fire. Islamic hotel is burning.
Yeah, he grips you right away.
He grips you right away.
You're like excited. You're like, oh, yeah, it's like Die Hard, but Ayn Rand.
Yeah, Dying Rand.
Yeah.
And now we go back to let's learn about Brett Hawthorne's background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brett Hawthorne was the youngest general in the American military. He'd grown up lower middle class in Chicago. His mother a teacher. His father a salesman for the local phone company.
I'm sorry. At some point, you got to search how many times he mentioned Chicago.
Oh, boy. Is that a thing for him?
It's a thing for him because of Obama. It's a thing for him because of guns. It's a thing for him because of black people in general.
So half of the time Chicago's mentioned in this book, it's the south side of Chicago.
Of course it is.
Which is the baddest part of town. Mm-hmm. And if you go there, you better beware for a man named Leroy Brown.
Mm-hmm. Bad Leroy Brown.
Bad Leroy Brown. He's the baddest man in the whole damn town. Yeah. Badder than old King Kong.
Yeah. Madder than a junkyard dog.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Katie. That's absolutely correct. What? It's a great song. So, he'd been a shy, gentle, quiet kid, built like a reed, but he learned one skill pretty quickly at Thomas Edison High, how to talk his way from out of a bad situation. Oh, good Lord. Okay, so he learned this from Derek, because Brett...
Derek?
I think Derek's going to be a black inner city kid who teaches him how to be cool.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
He definitely is.
So, Brett sat by himself a lot at lunch because he wasn't one of the Irish kids. He wasn't one of the Italian kids. He'd made the mistake of trying to befriend a couple of black kids. That hadn't gone well. He'd ended up with a black eye and a few new vocabulary words to add to his dictionary.
I'm sorry. Okay.
It is Benny Shapps.
It is. This is. It's every single thing he says. You're like, so did this literally happen to you? You had a bad experience in this in your life.
No, I don't think this actually happened. No, to him. I think he imagined that if he had tried to talk to a black kid at school, that's what would have happened.
It's the thing that you do where you like imagine conversations with people and you get into an argument about them. You're like, well, this is what I would say then. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. This is his.
Yeah. Okay. So, because trying to befriend black kids is a bad idea, he sat alone.
Because of the words you'll learn.
Because of the words you'll learn. He sat alone until he made the mistake of looking up one day. And standing above him, glaring at him, was a behemoth, a black kid named Yard.
Nobody
knew his real name. Everybody just called him Yard because he played on the school football team, stood 6'5", clocked in at a solid 280 pounds. There's so much height for him.
He's obsessed with height. That's very funny. But I'm sorry. Nobody knows his name, but he's on the football team?
Yes, no one knows his name.
What's on his jersey?
No one knows his name.
Yard?
Cody. No one knows his name. It's just blank. Name.
Unbelievable, Ben.
He's just number 12.
Nobody knows the star football player's name.
No, he's Yard.
Okay.
And that's all anyone knows. At
Never
the
mind.
School,
I'm not mad.
Where he goes. And
nobody
has...
even cared to find out where he got that nickname.
I'm not mad. You're mad. You're the ones.
How we all doing?
Great.
Never been better.
So, Yard stood 6'5", clocked in at a solid 280 pounds, and looked like he was headed straight for a lifetime of prison workouts.
Jesus Christ. Are you fucking kidding me?
Excuse me?
What does that look like, Ben?
Robert, excuse me?
Don't be off-put by his laughing. This is just how we deal with this pain.
We're not even two pages into the chapter one.
This is like absolute trash.
Headed for a lifetime. Why is he headed for a lifetime? Because he's a tall black man?
He's the star football team, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's not headed for prison.
The coach loved him. Everyone else feared him.
Ah! Well, okay. All right.
Yeah, so Brett looks up, and this causes Yard to attack him. Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
I thought that Brett was a behemoth of a man as well. I thought he was a big, strapping man made of stone.
That's a good point, Katie, but he was small in school.
Okay, mm-hmm. He had a growth spurt late in life.
At some point,
he grew once he started using guns. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
At some point, he turned from Ben Shapiro into war general.
Right, it's just like this, like, eventually he turned into a bear, right?
Ben's just waiting for that.
Like he's just
coming,
watching.
Guys. My dad didn't grow till he was 50.
Ben's just watching Brave on a loop, just like that's gonna be me one day. I'm gonna be the bear.
No, that's liberal propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Also, Frozen.
Definitely liberal propaganda. Okay. So, guys, this is. I looked ahead, and it's very bad. So Ben's Brett is sitting down at school, and Yard looks at him, and he makes the mistake of looking up. And then Yard mumbles something in his face. What, said Brett? I said, Yard growled, did you just call me N-word? Because I just heard you call me N-word. Yeah.
Did he call him N-word?
No.
I don't think he did, Katie.
But, I mean, in his head, Ben Shapiro did when he came up with this character.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Like, he's like, oh, I bet Brett's thinking this. And, oh, my gosh. Okay.
You know what isn't headed for a lifetime of prison workouts?
I can't begin to imagine.
The products and services that support this podcast.
I was going to guess Yard, actually.
Yard probably makes millions of dollars
as a
talented football player who just got angry because Ben Shapiro absolutely called him the N-word.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cool.
It still counts even if it's under your breath, Ben.
Yeah. Even if it's under your breath every waking hour of the day. All right. Products.
Yeah.
It's the early days of COVID, April 2020. A woman in a small town in Oklahoma makes a strange post to Facebook and then disappears.
I'm on day 9 of this virus and I am pretty sure it has reached my lungs. I made the decision at the onset that if it got bad enough, I would not go to the hospital.
Pretty quickly, a ragtag group of women on the internet start their own investigation.
It felt like I was living out one of, like, my fantasy dreams of being a detective.
but the world they uncover is beyond their wildest imagination.
How did this happen?
Listen to What Happened to Talina Czar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Soledad O'Brien, and on my podcast, Murder on the Towpath, I'm taking you back to the 1960s. Mary Pinchot Meyer was a painter who lived in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Every day, she took a daily walk along a towpath near the E&O Canal. So when she was killed in a wealthy neighborhood...
She had been shot twice in the head and in the back, behind the heart.
The police arrived in a heartbeat. Within 40 minutes, a man named Raymond Crump Jr. was arrested. He was found nearby, soaking wet, and he was black. Only one woman dared defend him: civil rights lawyer Dubbee Roundtree. Join me as we unravel this story with a crazy twist. Because what most people didn't know is that Mary was connected to a very powerful man.
I pledge you that we shall neither commit nor provoke aggression.
John F. Kennedy. Listen to Murder on the Towpath with Soledad O'Brien on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something unexpected happened after Jeremy Scott confessed to killing Michelle Schofield in Bone Valley Season 1.
I just knew him as a kid.
Long, silent voices from his past came forward.
And he was just staring at me.
And they had secrets of their own to share.
Gilbert King, I'm the son of Jeremy Lynn Scott.
I was no longer just telling the story. I was part of it.
Every time I hear about my dad, it's, oh, he's a killer. He's just straight evil.
I was becoming the bridge between a killer and the son he'd never known.
If the cops and everything would have done their job properly, my dad would have been in jail. I would have never existed.
I never expected to find myself in this place. Now, I need to tell you how I got here.
At the end of the day, I'm literally a son of a killer.
Bone Valley, Season 2. Jeremy.
Jeremy, I want to tell you something.
Listen to new episodes of Bone Valley, Season 2 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear the entire new season ad-free with exclusive content, subscribe to Lava for Good Plus on Apple Podcasts.
Explore the winding halls of historical true crime with Holly Fry and Maria Tremarchi, hosts of Criminalia, as they uncover curious cases from the past. The legend of the highwayman suggests men dominated the field, but tell that to Lady Catherine Ferrers, known as the Wicked Lady, who terrorized England in the mid-1600s. Her legend persists nearly 400 years after her death. Hear the story of the gentleman robber, the romantic darling of the ladies, and a tale about a wager over a sack of potatoes, but you'll have to tune in to learn who won that one. Some highwaymen were well-mannered or faked it. People were concerned about the romanticism of robbers, but most were just thugs. Highwaymen are in the hot seat this season. Call them robbers or bandits, some are legendary figures. Listen to stories about historical crimes on Criminalia now, plus the cocktails and mocktails inspired by each. Listen to Criminalia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, and we are just slowly making our way through this book.
Very slowly.
We did the blurbs. We got
we're two pages in
we
now.
We got the description, the physical description of the main character.
I don't think we're going to get far through this book, you guys.
You know what? I don't care.
Because the next chapter is the president.
Yeah. Great.
But I want to know how this situation with Yard works. Oh, good God. Yard's hand came down on Brett's shoulder, heavy as doom. Brett could feel his bowels begin to give way when a smallish hand emerged on Yard's shoulder.
Oh my God, what a bad writer.
His biggest Shapiro is a very bad writer.
I'm so sorry, but like, that's so bad.
You remember when we've all had a hand emerge on us? It just punches right through like the chest burster. Oh my God. Ben Shapiro writes the way monks fuck. just like badly.
Poorly. Okay.
Badly.
But also constantly, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy. Okay. So a hand emerges on Yard's shoulder. A black hand. Uh-huh. Yard swiveled ponderously to face down the person connected with the hand.
Swiveled ponderously?
Ponderously.
All right, Ben.
Yeah. This is his black friend, Derek, who defends Ben Shapiro for not saying the N-word.
Out loud.
Yeah, out
this
loud.
This time.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good. So Derek is his friend. Who
Brett
teaches
is such
him.
An obvious stand-in for Ben.
Yeah, Brett is incredibly obvious. Oh my gosh. And Derek is a stand-in for the friend that the black friend Ben Shapiro has never made in his entire life.
Yeah, wish that he had so that these situations could be avoided.
Mm-hmm. And who would stand up for him every time on Twitter he got called out as a racist?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Actually, my friend Derek defended me when I thought the N-word a couple of times. At the definite future prisoner. Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So,
one thing I want you to do at some point is do a search for the word honky. Because I feel like
yes.
You definitely... Yeah.
But first, we have to talk about Brett's growth spurt.
Yeah! It's going to happen.
Between his junior and senior years of high school, Brett finally hit his growth spurt. Like his dad, he bloomed late. But when he did, he put on muscle and height like a racehorse. He sprouted 5 inches to 6'2". He broadened through the chest, filling out to a healthy 215. The coaches had ignored him in high school. But at the Citadel, he goes to military school. Mm-hmm. He quickly became their favorite.
This is so sad.
Yeah, it's
this
a real
bummer.
This
is such bummer. A sad insight into his psyche of what he desperately wants.
I feel like I've learned so much more about Benny Shapps just from the first couple of pages of this book.
Let's not hate him. Let's pity him.
I mean,
he'll hate that
anymore.
Yeah,
it's sad. We're all suffering from the same problem. We just express it in different ways, and Ben has done this instead. I've thought about this before, specifically with Jordan Peterson.
Dr. Balthazar.
Dr. Jordan Balthazar Peterson, yes. Yeah. Jordan Bumblebee Peterson. In that... He tries to explain things to people, and he like slips in some, I think, odious views, and
yes.
He does it in language that seems academic, but is also kind of contradictory. And it's like it's if you parse what he says, it's not great, and he just sort of talks and talks and talks. I've always wanted him to stop what he's doing and write a novel, mm-hmm. because I know that if he writes a novel, then his views will be very clear.
It will reveal a tremendous amount.
And here
of
we are.
Not intentionally necessarily. It'll, just be like, it'll ooze out of him. Like, here's what I think about everybody on the page.
He will write a novel that he thinks is about, like, a decent man running for president and saving the country, and everyone will point out 10 minutes after it's released, like, oh, you wrote Mein Kampf.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
You accidentally wrote Mein Kampf.
You'll be like, oh, all these emotions and feelings you're talking about and like what you think needs to like taking the chaos and turning it into order, everything you're writing about.
Yeah. There will be like a 3-page part where Jordan Peterson talks about seeing his first Hasidic Jew, and it will be like word for word almost what Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf. It's
and
going to be
like,
uncomfortable, and yeah.
And no one will know it until it's published.
Yeah.
He won't know it, and I desperately want him to do that, and I'm glad that Ben has done that for him.
It shares a lot. So I'm just going to skim the next couple of pages because we've got to move on
to the
president. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when he was 22, he got sent to Saudi Arabia and missed Operation Desert Storm for the most part. And he was really bummed that we let the Kurds die, which I didn't hear Ben speak up a whole lot when we abandoned them in Syria.
No,
why not?
He seems to be in a position he's changed.
Yeah, interesting. He meets someone named Ellen, who I don't care about. they have a kid together. He's in Kosovo as a captain. By September 11th, he's a major. By September 11th, he was a major. A major who, by simple coincidence, knew Pashto. So... A simple coincidence. He learned one of the most complex and difficult to master languages on the face of the planet. Just as a coincidence, like you do.
I was just drawn there. There was no reason.
Here's the best part. He's one of the first men on the ground in Afghanistan, and he knew little of the country's culture, but his knowledge of the language made him a valuable commodity. So
how do you know a little of a culture but know a language? How?
That language.
John, did you learn that language?
Yeah. How do you learn Pashto and nothing about Afghan culture?
Ben's view of the world.
It's amazing.
It's like he did like a Matrix. He jacked into the Matrix and he learned the language.
But nothing at all. Not a goddamn thing about Afghan culture. So he hangs out with the Northern Alliance some.
Rosetta Stone.
There's a lot. Rosetta Stone. He did the Pashto Rosetta Stone.
Simple coincidence.
Missed all the culture stuff. Cool. He hung out with the Northern Alliance, and it was all very Lawrence of Arabia, Brett thought, except that Peter O'Toole had never had to deal with roadside bombs or donkeys laden with explosives or the lure of the opium trade.
Such a good point.
And it's interesting he describes it as the lure.
Yeah.
Is he like...
Okay, Ben.
Is he tempted?
Right, there's like half of it where it's like, this is what I think about the world, and half it's like, what if I... It's like...
could I do opium?
No, you couldn't. I'm sorry.
It's so good. It's so good. Okay. The administration makes a terrible deal that dooms the effort in Afghanistan, and Brett Hawthorne is there as it's all falling apart, and he's with a CNN crew, and he saves the day. He'd been ushering the CNN crew around because, as he told his wife, gotta keep those schmucks from reporting that we eat Muslims.
What?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Robert,
yep.
Wait.
Yep.
So he's making a dig at the mainstream media.
Yep.
Obviously. But
admitting to cannibalism?
Doing saying the awful thing as like a good thing.
He doesn't, because CNN would report that American soldiers eat Muslims because they hate American soldiers and don't, for example, respond worshipfully when we fire missiles at an empty airbase in Syria and talk about the beauty of our weapons. They don't do that. They hate the American military.
Okay. Oh, then I hate them.
Exactly.
All right.
So a little dig in here about how lazy the CNN people are.
Sure.
And then Brett turned to speak. This is after the cameraman says they've got enough footage. Brett turned to speak, and from behind the cameraman, he saw a child on a donkey about 300 feet away. His service weapon, a Beretta M9, was in his hand before he even felt it leave his holster.
God.
He sees a kid on a donkey
and
pulls a gun.
What?
A weird little racist gremlin.
So I bet it works out, though.
I bet he's right.
Oh, he's absolutely right.
Yeah,
and the evil CNN cameraman zooms in eagerly as the situation degenerates because he wants to capture the kid being shot by.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna go on to the president here. I don't need more of this.
You don't want to
hear the description of the child dying?
No, I don't know that the child. I'm sure he saves the child, and the evil CNN cameraman is angry at this.
Mm.
President Prescott.
Okay,
that's a good name.
That's a solid presidential president name. Yeah.
I'm
surprised he didn't do like a very like African name.
Shmobama. O'Rock, Bobama, something
president
like that.
President Secret Muslim.
Yeah.
President Black Man.
Oh, boy. No, it's Mark Prescott.
All right.
Okay.
Solid.
We simply can't pay for it, sir. White House Chief of Staff Tommy Bradley was standing over the president's desk in the Oval Office, a sheaf of budget papers in his hand. Crumpled, wrinkled papers covered in red notes. The numbers just didn't add up. President Mark Prescott didn't care. Listen to me, Tom.
Oh, my God. Oh, how transparent can you be? That's also really poorly written. Oh,
it is
so good.
Because we go from, like, the president's chief of staff standing over a sheaf of budget papers in his hand, crumpled, wrinkled papers covered in red notes. That's not even a sentence.
Yeah. No.
Crumpled, wrinkled papers covered in red notes is not a full sentence.
Mm-mm.
There's no action in that sentence.
Nothing. It's just a description of a noun.
It is a creative
liberty. Yeah, it's like Palahniuk style.
Yeah.
He's got that, like, it's like two-word sentences, you know, and
he loves
yes,
that
I was going sort of, to say, yeah. This has a very Palahniuk-y
vibe. Palahniuk-y, right?
Yeah. It's Palahniuk-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Palahniuk-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are way too generous.
So... listen to me, Tommy, said the president. My re-election relies on our ability to secure funding for this action. You know that. I know that. The polls show it. We don't have a choice in the matter. Okay, so what's this action about?
Yeah, what did he...
Oh, he's afraid of becoming a Jimmy Carter.
Also, like, what's he alluding to with, like... In regards to Obama,
I'm still... We're a while into this,
okay,
and I can't figure out
responsibility.
What they can't pay for.
Right.
I wonder if we'll ever find out.
I doubt it.
Oh, there
I
was a stock market crash that's apparently this Democratic president's fault. Just like the stock market crash in 2008 didn't start in the Bush administration.
It was his fault.
Because it was Obama's fault that it crashed in the Bush administration.
Yeah. I mean, it's Obama's fault for being black.
That is absolutely true. Yeah. And I bet if he'd been at high school with Ben Shapiro, they would have had an interaction.
Mm. Yeah, I bet if Ben Shapiro saw him in high school, he'd be like, you're going to go to prison one day.
Go to prison one day.
And nobody knows your name.
And nobody knows your name.
Star football player that everybody knows. Unreal.
So good. The unemployment rate's climbed beyond 10% and is headed towards the 15% mark. If you counted those who had stopped looking for a job, the real unemployment rate was closer to 25%, which was the unemployment rate during the Great Depression, and never was close to that during Obama's administration.
Yeah. Interesting.
Cool.
Leeches.
So Prescott did what Prescott knew how to do. He survived. The easiest way to survive, end his predecessor's wars, no matter what the cost, and then pump up the spending at home. There was no glory to be won on the poppy fields of Afghanistan. Everlasting glory didn't come in the form of military victory in this day and age. It came in the form of everlasting social programs that grew and inured to the benefit of all Americans. He's saying that's
the
bad.
The benefit of all Americans!
He's saying not fighting hopeless wars that waste all of our money and benefit national security, not one iota, and instead spending the money to help Americans is bad. That it's cowardly.
This is unbelievable.
Obviously, Robert.
Every pundit should be forced to write a novel. Like, I want to know what's in your soul. I want to know what's in there.
And would let's you be able to do that?
Yeah.
I've written one and it's bad.
Damn right
but
it
if
is.
I run for president, I will publish my bad novel.
Get it out of the way.
Mine's just like spooky stories and Animorphs parodies.
Cody, it's not fair to call them Animorphs parodies. They are Animorphs erotic fiction. And
Thank you.
Know what? I will say erotic literature.
I don't...
Wait, you've read it and I haven't? All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying that.
It is...
My book is going to be just for kids.
Mm-hmm. For kids.
About being a good friend.
So also Animorphs erotica?
It's going to be a girl and her imaginary friend donkey.
That's a good size. That's a good idea for a book.
Yeah,
and
don't
it
take it, guys.
Less thirsty than Cody's book, which is drier than the Sahara.
Aww,
it's desperate. But
he was 37 minutes late. We can razz him a little.
One note, Cody. There's actually no such thing as a fuck panther.
Prove it. I dare you to prove that somehow.
I think there's a fuck panther in this book.
Yeah. Several.
A couple of them, yeah.
Type in fuck panther. Let's see how many times.
See if there's a fuck panther. I wonder if the word fuck does appear in this at all.
Probably not.
I bet he...
Oh my gosh, no, 19 matches. Ooh. Brett...
The asterisks?
Brett Badass is a military guy.
I mean,
guy.
He's a loose cannon.
I have
He'll
a question,
fire off a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck.
Oh boy. Fuck you, motherfucker. Get the fuck out of my hood to get his men the fuck off my border. Fuck these animals.
Yeah. There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, boy.
Unless he's actually talking about fucking animals, in which case I'm not looking for
I'm
that.
I'm going to pop right over there and see if it's...
Animorphs erotica.
Oh.
The Taliban had used the hangar as an execution post. There was a line of bodies lying on the floor, many of them wearing American uniforms. Those bodies had been mutilated obscenely. They'd done it slowly. They'd enjoyed themselves. Animals, he said softly. Fuck these animals.
Uh-huh. Okay, so not actually fucking animals.
I was gonna,
in the racist way.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
I was going to comment on the poorly written aspects of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is badly written.
But then,
all right.
Yeah, more about the president.
Okay. FDR was worshipped not because of World War II, but because of Social Security.
Wait, who's speaking right now? The president?
This is just a rant Ben's going on it again about the president who can't afford something that we haven't been told what it is yet.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This is just like one of his townhall.com like essays that he's like, they're not going to publish this. I'll put it in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. So Prescott spent. He spent on green technologies, on education
Fuck
programs,
that place.
On food stamps and highways,
can't
medical
stand it.
Mandates.
Who needs a fucking highway?
Who's going to use this?
So the poors can drive to work?
The pavos. I love that so far the message of the first page of the President Prescott chapter is that he's a coward for spending money on highways and not Afghanistan.
He doesn't want to do any more war. And he wants to.
Are you scared of the guns?
I am.
Why don't you invest in human beings' lives?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So yeah, this obviously spending money on Americans rather than Afghanistan destroys the economy.
He's making a great point.
Yeah, he is making a very important point. And so President Prescott starts to doubt whether or not he's going to win a second term. And then a miracle. In the middle of the night, Prescott woke up with a phrase ringing in his brain. Over and over, it was as though a higher power had placed them in his mind. He grabbed a pen from his bedside drawer and wrote it down. Work freedom. The Work Freedom Program.
That's how Paul McCartney wrote.
Oh, my God.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, mm-hmm. Yeah. He woke up with the melody in his head and he had to write it down. So. Yeah.
He kept going to all his friends and being like, is this anything? Am I making this up?
Oh, my God.
Okay, wait, what?
This is like a really gross. Ben thinks he's being smart, but this is a Holocaust reference that he's right. making. He's comparing social welfare programs to the Holocaust.
Of course he is.
Let me read you this paragraph. Everyone recognized the value of freedom, but what did that mean other than the right to a job? Freedom meant nothing if you couldn't put bread in your children's mouths at night. And America was a country of workers. Freedom was work, and work was freedom. Work freedom. Simple, easy, repeatable, genius. What was stamped on the gates of Auschwitz mm-hmm. and a number of other death mm-hmm. camps was Arbeit macht free, work brings freedom.
Yeah. Yep.
That's literally what he is literally comparing
yes,
a jobs program.
Yes,
unfucking believable.
Yeah, he's a.
It's believable.
It's believable that this
that
little
he would say
yeah,
that.
It's a little gremlin mm-hmm. doing. Yeah,
you know who won't make ghoulish Holocaust comparisons to score a cheap political point against a fake president.
Jordan Peterson. Right. Wait, never mind.
Ayn Rand. No
shit. We're close.
Would it be
Stephen Crowdy?
Products Swatty. And services?
Katie got it.
Ooh. I can't believe that was right. That was a real stab in the dark.
You nailed it. You nailed it. These products and services will, in fact, bring freedom
work
to
freedom.
You. Work freedom. The work freedom products that advertise on this show.
It's the early days of COVID, April 2020. A woman in a small town in Oklahoma makes a strange post to Facebook and then disappears.
I'm on day 9 of this virus and I am pretty sure it has reached my lungs. I made the decision at the onset that if it got bad enough, I would not go to the hospital.
Pretty quickly, a ragtag group of women on the internet start their own investigation.
It felt like I was living out one of, like, my fantasy dreams of being a detective.
But the world they uncover is beyond their wildest imagination.
How did this happen?
Listen to What Happened to Talina Czar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Soledad O'Brien, and on my podcast, Murder on the Towpath, I'm taking you back to the 1960s. Mary Pinchot Meyer was a painter who lived in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Every day, she took a daily walk along a towpath near the E&O Canal. So when she was killed in a wealthy neighborhood...
She had been shot twice in the head and in the back, behind the heart.
The police arrived in a heartbeat. Within 40 minutes, a man named Raymond Crump Jr. was arrested. He was found nearby, soaking wet, and he was black. Only one woman dared defend him, civil rights lawyer Dubie Roundtree. Join me as we unravel this story with a crazy twist. Because what most people didn't know is that Mary was connected to a very powerful man.
I pledge you that we shall neither commit nor provoke aggression.
John F. Kennedy. Listen to Murder on the Towpath with Soledad O'Brien on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something unexpected happened after Jeremy Scott confessed to killing Michelle Schofield in Bone Valley Season 1.
I just knew him as a kid.
Long, silent voices from his past came forward.
And he was just staring at me.
And they had secrets of their own to share.
Gilbert King. I'm the son of Jeremy Lynn Scott.
I was no longer just telling the story. I was part of it.
Every time I hear about my dad, it's, oh, he's a killer. He's just straight evil.
I was becoming the bridge between a killer and the son he'd never known.
If the cops and everything would have done their job properly, my dad would have been in jail. I would have never existed.
I never expected to find myself in this place. Now, I need to tell you how I got here.
At the end of the day, I'm literally a son of a killer.
Bone Valley, Season 2. Jeremy.
Jeremy, I want to tell you something.
Listen to new episodes of Bone Valley Season 2 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear the entire new season ad-free with exclusive content, subscribe to Lava for Good Plus on Apple Podcasts.
Explore the winding halls of historical true crime with Holly Fry and Maria Tremarchi, hosts of Criminalia, as they uncover curious cases from the past. The legend of the highwayman suggests men dominated the field, but tell that to Lady Catherine Ferrers, known as the Wicked Lady, who terrorized England in the mid-1600s. Her legend persists nearly 400 years after her death. Hear the story of the gentleman robber, the romantic darling of the ladies, and a tale about a wager over a sack of potatoes, but you'll have to tune in to learn who won that one. Some highwaymen were well-mannered or faked it. People were concerned about the romanticism of robbers, but most were just thugs. Highwaymen are in the hot seat this season. Call them robbers or bandits, some are legendary figures. Listen to stories about historical crimes on Criminalia now, plus the cocktails and mocktails inspired by each. Listen to Criminalia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back.
Yes.
And gang, it's time for me to admit something now, 40 or so minutes into this.
Yeah.
Which is that when we decided we were going to do another one of these, I really agonized over which book to choose.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And I really frustrated Sophie by going back and forth. We had a number of contenders for this, and I was worried that the Ben Shapiro book wouldn't be a good idea because I was like, it's probably just like a really lame thriller. Like mm-hmm. he had a script for a generic action movie and he wrote it. And we're just going to be like reading through turgid prose about shooting people. And it's just going to be very boring.
Yeah.
And I would have to be like 20 minutes in and be like, okay guys, I'm sorry. We got to like revamp and figure out something else. I've learned so much about
Ben. I believe that this was a script he pitched around and then developed into a novel.
And I am certain that in his head, his dream was that, like, I'm going to pitch this script and myself as a screenwriter. But once they meet me, they'll be like, the only person who can play Brett Hall.
Right, they're like, all right,
he's
love
like
it.
John Wayne was short. But he's built the sets around him.
Mm-hmm. You got to change it so Brett's actually a short, obnoxious guy.
It's actually better if you're short on camera. It's better for lighting purposes.
Ben, we love the script, but the protagonist needs to be more unpleasant to listen to.
All right, give us some more.
All right. We only have time. We will not get through enough of this.
You know what, Robert? That's fine.
Robert, I think it's disgusting. I think it's embarrassing that we haven't gotten through this whole thing. I think it's fine, but we got to do like a 10-part series so we finish it.
Okay. So what should we go through next? I feel like going through chapter.
Some options.
We're just going to get bogged down. Is there anything you want me to search for so we can try to?
Well, I have a question. So when he ran into that future prisoner, and he didn't say the N-word, but he thought the N-word.
Yeah.
Was it typed out? Was the word typed out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great.
So I would say search for the other instances
of
that
also
word.
Wouldn't mind hearing about this. What was the woman character? What was her description? What did she do?
You mean the militia leader?
Yeah.
Well, I know that her first chapter starts with her baking cookies for a SWAT team that's coming after her.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Is this a
no?
What
no.
The fuck?
I mean, I wouldn't mind checking
real.
That out.
All right.
You liar! You absolute liar! There's no way.
I will lie about a lot of things, Cody. The coronavirus, for example.
Yeah.
But I will never lie about Ben Shapiro's prose. Soledad, Central Valley, California. The SWAT team didn't expect it the first time she brought them cookies. Nobody brings the SWAT team cookies. But Soledad Ramirez...
But the lady does!
Well, Soledad Ramirez knew the value of good press, and she baked mean chocolate chip cookies. No oatmeal raisin here, she said, good-naturedly, handing out the meltingly hot treats to the men wearing full military gear and carrying M4 set to burst.
Oh, my God.
Number one, Ben.
Does he mean they were about to come?
No. So military-grade M4s and similar weapons based off the AR platform have a burst fire mode, which does a three-round burst, okay. In addition to semi-automatic. No one would use it in that situation. No. If you are semi-automatic is primarily for killing, like for actually trying to take aim shots. So if you are entering a building in the thought that you might have a gunfight, you're not going to have your rifle set on burst. Sorry. It's just very...
Yeah, also, if... Just, this is nitpicking. Meltingly hot.
Meltingly hot.
If something is melting,
yeah.
we the reader, would assume that they're hot.
You don't need to say...
You don't need to...
Also, meltingly.
Yeah, it's very awkward. It's also, fine. It's fine. Not important.
They all eat the cookies, which... feel like is a bad call for a SWAT team entering a hostile situation.
No, no, no. You gotta
just
load
take
up.
The food you that they hand you. The person you're raiding.
Is this... Wait, so, okay. So this woman is the cookie maker.
So wait, what militia is she a part of?
But, well, because also there's the other woman, right? There was, like, his wife that had a kid.
Oh, yeah. She's unconsequential.
Right.
Unconsequential.
So that's what, it, like, there's
no,
nothing else
the
about...
No, this is the militia leader. So she's a right-wing militia leader?
I am going to guess.
But
so
she
far,
also
oh
knows
boy.
Her gender role and how to knows her way around a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the so meltingly hot cookies.
It seems like she's a ranch owner, and there's the EPA ruled that there's a type of rare fish that was in danger from water overuse in the river, and they were stopping her from doing her important farm work. And we're going to confiscate her property if she didn't stop watering her plants. So
is this about that Obama
that's a way to frame
thing?
It.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's a mix of that and like what happened with the Bundys.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Cool.
So transparent.
But but she does know how to bake, and that's important for a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She protested. She sued. It didn't matter, according to the government, that her husband's father had bought the farm, worked it up from nothing. It didn't matter that her husband had worked his heart out, almost literally on the farm, keeling over at the ripe old age of 52 while grazing those damn cattle. It didn't matter that she had 50-some employees and their families depended on her. All that mattered was the smelt, that damn fish.
It's definitely the Obama... It's exactly that.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it kills all her cows.
That's
so she...
embarrassing, Ben.
Oh my God. There's even a reference to you guys ever done like a lot of driving up the 5 from like, Los Angeles North? You know how they have all those like Congress made Dust Bowl, yep. Pelosi. There's even a direct reference to that. They're making her the character who put those signs up on the side of the 5.
You know what? I've always wondered. I have to drive up there frequently because my family lives in the Bay Area. So I make that drive.
A lot, yeah.
A lot.
I've done it dozens of times.
And I'm always wondering, who did this?
Soledad Ramirez.
Soledad Ramirez.
Are there any ones that say, stop by for my meltingly hot cookies?
Nope.
Okay.
I wonder how Soledad Ramirez feels about immigration.
Oh, boy. Good news, Katie. She was a week away from filing, I think, for bankruptcy. Filing for bankruptcy when she received the letter. It came from one of her former employees, Emilio. He'd immigrated from Mexico decades before, crossed the border illegally. She'd paid him well, sponsored his citizenship, and brought his family over to join him. He's a valuable employee, she told her skeptical friends. And if you were living on that side of the border, wouldn't you jump it? He's not taking money from anybody except me, and I'm paying him for work. He was one of the last men to be laid off as the ranch died. She cried the night she told him the cash had run out. He thanked her, hugged her, and moved his family to Los Angeles. So he writes her a letter.
Well, that's a good immigration story, I guess.
I mean, I feel like that's, if you do a search for Emilio.
Oh, good Christ.
Might, oh, no.
Did he become a gang member? Oh, no. He became a gang member.
Almost. So he and his family had been forced to take a small apartment in East Los Angeles. And Emilio had gotten a job at a factory, a local, one of those classic East LA factories. Yeah.
East LA is teeming with factories.
It's factory town. That's what we all call it. So their son Juan had been enrolled at the public high school. That's where he'd been killed. One of his classmates apparently had tried to recruit him into a gang. When he refused, several of the gang members found him in the bathroom. They started punching him. Yeah, they beat him to death for not joining a gang.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Football gangs and factories.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, he's so simple. He's such a simple boy.
Mm-hmm. So she refuses to pay her tax bill and instead sends the money over to Emilio so he can bury his boy.
Who didn't said no to gangs.
Yeah, and then that's why the SWAT team comes after her, because she's not paying her taxes because mm-hmm. she had to help Emilio bury his gang-killed boy. And that's what starts the standoff.
Okay.
That's a stand-in for the Bundy standoff that happened when the Bundys refused to actually pay mandatory grazing fees that were very clear and very fair for more than a decade until finally there was an action that was then stopped because the government got scared because we don't, or at least didn't, live in a
guys.
Yeah.
This is a rich tapestry. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot.
That brings up really important moral questions, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and we shouldn't mock it.
No.
No, no, it's good. You're right. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean anything I just said.
He talks about, there's a character named LeVon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is.
He talks about, oh my God. LeVon, not a white character.
Really?
Mm. No.
Huh.
Detroit, Michigan is where LeVon lives.
Yep.
Rude.
And the first sentence of LeVon's chapter is, Detroit was a shithole, but it was his shithole.
I hate this so much.
That's the way LeVon Williams had thought of it. He'd grown up in this shithole, right near 8 Mile Road, a long stretch.
This is horrible.
Oh, my God.
I will not have Detroit slander on the podcast.
Just write a book.
He saw 8 Mile with Eminem. And it takes place in
your dorm room when you were in law school.
Does he talk about
the
rap
world
battles?
You know.
Oh my God, he must, right? He must talk about rap battles. I'm just going to see if.
Yeah, rap? Does he talk about rap?
Oh my God, there's no. Let's see if there's hip hop.
Or I'm trying to think of
It's not his
really,
forte.
Vernacular, the words oh man, why are you doing that? What are you.
Yeah. It doesn't look like we have that problem.
Thank God for small miracles.
Yeah, thank God for small miracles. Well, guys, I don't know how much more. I mean, we could keep this going for hours. But we can't because time is yes, Cody?
Could you real quick just search for mm-hmm. the word Marxism?
Oh my God. Of course.
Thank you.
Of course. Let's just see Marx.
Yeah.
Marxism. Oh no, only once.
Wow.
Where the president's plan to actually, I'm going to read you what the president's plan
right.
because this is what Ben essentially calls Marxism and socialism. This is the president speaking.
Yeah,
the evil president.
Yeah, the
who's
Marxist
the worst
president,
person
yeah.
who doesn't want us to be
Do
in
an
Afghanistan.
Evil Marxist
15% unemployment.
I promise you right now that you will not pay one additional dollar in taxes for this program. You will not lose your job. And if your employer should selfishly fire you, we're establishing a business trust to which all businesses will contribute, which will pay your salary during rainy days. Businesses may try to scare you, but people are always frightened of what they do not understand. Selfishness must not be allowed to trump the vital liberties of the American people. And this action will not contribute to our national debt. It will contribute to our collective wealth, with the entire American population working, producing, creating, not just 80% or 90% or even 93%. We will boost our gross domestic product exponentially.
What a monster.
For me, this is bad. It's like, what if there was a social safety net? Horrible!
Damn you!
Highways.
Oof.
Amazing.
One last one.
Yep.
Do a search for IQ.
Oh, boy. Oh, Cody. Maybe.
Just a shot in the dark. Who knows?
No.
No? Okay.
That's for his other book.
Right?
This has been not that illuminating.
No.
I mean, it has been illuminating, but only in affirming the things that we know.
Just for a number, for numbers' mm-hmm. sake, Patriot.
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's see that. Only two. Yeah.
What?
Only two.
Ben, you loser.
Yeah.
You don't care about America at all.
America.
You hate America. Unbelievable.
I'm so glad you picked this book.
I am, too.
Yeah,
thank you,
so
Sophie.
Glad you picked this book.
I am so glad that Sophie finally insisted that I pick this book rather than vacillating like a fucking coward.
We did it.
And I am going to just hop right in right now. Let's go to my orders.
Get that refund.
Get that refund. Yeah, I don't want old Benny Shapps to get any of this.
I want to read his
pilot
so bad.
Can you give feedback as to why you want a refund?
No.
Say this is trash?
Yeah, you know what? I will. I will say this
and
is
while
trash.
Robert, is trash. And while Robert does that, do you guys want to plug your pluggables?
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, you can check out our show that we do with Robert, content. Worst Year Ever.
Okay.
I'm sure you guys know about that. And you can check out our show, Even More News. That's our podcast. Cody, you want to tell them about the other things we do?
It's a YouTube show. It's called Some More News.
Damn straight.
You can Google it and Google our names to find all the social media accounts that are associated with the shows and with us personally.
Because they exist.
They exist. They're out there with tweets. You know
what I love
posts.
Is things that exist.
Yeah.
I'm famous for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, my item has been successfully returned. So that's good. That's good. It's been processed.
I'm so happy for us, for
so
you.
So there's a lesson for all of you. If you want to game Amazon a little bit.
It's a smart one.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Also, you can follow Robert on Twitter at iWriteOkay. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BastardsPod. We have a Tee Public store and a website at BehindTheBastards.com.
What she said.
And bye.
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 Hello.
Hi.
Shit.
Oh.
Something unexpected happened after Jeremy Scott confessed to killing Michelle Schofield in Bone Valley Season 1.
Every time I hear about my dad, it's, oh, he's a killer. He's just straight evil.
I was becoming the bridge between Jeremy Scott and the son he'd never known.
At the end of the day, I'm literally a son of a killer.
Listen to new episodes of Bone Valley Season 2 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's April 2020. A woman announces on Facebook that she has COVID and won't be seeking medical attention.
I didn't want to be talked out of this plan.
Then she disappears.
Anyone else think this is strange?
I just had to know. How did this happen?
Listen to What Happened to Talina Czar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Soledad O'Brien, and on my new true crime podcast, Murder on the Towpath, I'm taking you back to 1964, to the cold case of artist Mary Pinchot Meyer.
She had been shot twice, in the head and in the back.
It turns out Mary was connected to a very powerful man.
I pledge you that we shall neither commit nor provoke aggression.
John F. Kennedy. Listen to Murder on the Towpath with Soledad O'Brien on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How could a beautiful young first grade teacher be stabbed 20 times, including in the back, allegedly die of suicide? Yes, that was the medical examiner's official ruling. After a closed-door meeting, he first named it a homicide. Why? What happened to Ellen Greenberg? A huge American miscarriage of justice. For an in-depth look at the facts, see What Happened to Ellen on Amazon. All proceeds to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.